If you have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and hold that. We'll spend time today in Luke chapter 9 as we continue to look at the life of Jesus, a day in the life of Jesus as we consider His mission and make His mission our focus. Now, why did Jesus establish His church more than 2,000 years ago? Jesus came to bring a new covenant with mankind. The old covenant was with Israel, but the new covenant was for all of us. He came to bring a covenant for the whole world, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And He established His church to carry on His mission until He returns again. He called His church to personally share and demonstrate the love of Jesus so that everyone has the opportunity to be saved. This is His very purpose in establishing the church, in leaving the church, in calling His disciples to carry on His mission, to personally. And when we are in the family, we're called to the family business, to personally share and demonstrate the love of Jesus so that everyone has the opportunity to be saved. James Moore, in his book, "When All Else Fails, Read the Instructions," writes about a man by the name of George. And George was a man who was well liked by everyone. Everyone loved George. He was a peacemaker, and he was a man filled with love, and he loved everyone. He showed kindness and respect to everyone, regardless of how they treated him, regardless of who they were. He loved them and he treated them with kindness. And so everybody loved George. Everybody in his church loved George, and everybody at the hospital where he worked, they loved him. And James writes in the book about George that his children remember very clearly his final days in the hospital before he passed away. That while he was in the hospital where he worked for many years, the hospital administrator came in and visited with him. Said it was just like old friends who had known each other for years. They just shared and visited with one another. And then later in that day, that one of the janitors came in and visited with George. And they just sat there and talked like old friends, like they knew one another for years. And when he left, one of the kids said, "Dad, we noticed that you treated the president of the hospital in the same way you treated a janitor in the hospital." And he said, "Well, that's true. I treat everybody equally the same. But consider this. If the administrator was gone for 2 weeks and the janitor was gone for 2 weeks, which one would you miss the most?" He said, "Let me share something with you." And he shared with them a little pocket-sized cross. And on the cross it was inscribed, "God loves you." And he shared with his children a marble. And in teeny tiny letters it said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And he told his children, said, "I keep these in my pockets all the time. Even when I'm mowing the yard, I keep them in my pocket. And the cross is to remind me how much God loves me in spite of all my flaws and my mistakes. And the marbles to remind me how much He wants me to love everyone else. And I keep them with me all the time." Now some Pharisees, they tried to trip up Jesus and said, "Jesus, what are the greatest commandments?" And Jesus said, "The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength," just like William shared with us. "And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." You love others. They go hand in hand. You love God, and you love God by loving others, and you treating others with kindness, regardless of who they are. Jesus instructed them that this is what it's about. It's about love. It's about the love of God being shown to others through you. Now, you don't have to read much of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament that instruct us about the life of Jesus. You don't have to read very much to realize that Jesus was all about helping and loving people. He was compassionate. He healed. He fed. He loved. He gave mercy. He gave forgiveness. And He spoke truth and love. Now, in our text today, the apostles are being reunited with Jesus. If we look in Luke 9, 1 and 2, and He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Jesus is starting a movement. A movement that has lasted more than 2,000 years, but He started it with these 12. And here He's getting them ready. Getting them ready for His departure. He's going to be gone. And He needs them to be ready to carry on His mission. They didn't realize that. They didn't know what all was going on. But when He sent them out, He also gave them the ability to cast out demons and to make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the crippled walk. He gave them the ability to heal. Now, I looked up a timeline because I wanted to know about how long have the Jews been practicing the rituals of the law? Sacrifice day after day, sacrifice after sacrifice. Annually, the feasts where they would travel and they would participate in the Passover feast and Pentecost and all the three major feasts they would participate in year after year. They'd offer sacrifices day after day. How long? And I found some discrepancies, but I came up with about 1,500 years, give or take a few hundred years. That for more than 1,500 years, actually, the Jews had been participating in feast after feast and sacrifice after sacrifice and keeping the rituals of the law, that it came more, especially to the religious leaders, it was more about the rituals than it was God. They had left out the love part. It was about performing the rituals, but they didn't love God and they didn't love others. And Jesus was constantly confronting them on this. But for 1,500 years, they had been practicing the tenets of the law and temple worship, where their sacrifices were required. And now Jesus comes along and He's going to turn that all upside down. He's going to change everything. Now, when they started this temple worship, when the Israelites were led out of Egypt and a covenant was made with the people of Israel, it was pretty drastic to get them to move out of Egypt. It took some major miracles. We're talking plagues upon plagues upon plagues. And then the Passover, where they were delivered from the death angel that came through Egypt because of the blood of the Lamb. But this was major, these plagues, these miracles, to move them out of Egypt. Now it was going to take something major, significant, to move them out of the old covenant into the new covenant. And so they were given great powers. Jesus performed miracles. His disciples performed miracles. This was to prepare the people for this new movement, this new way, this new covenant. Well, the disciples, they returned to Jesus. And in our text, starting with verse 10, on their return, the apostles told Him all that they had done. And He took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. But they were exhausted. They'd been traveling. They'd been staying in people's homes from house to house. They'd been healing the sick. While they're with Jesus, the crowds continued to gather up by the thousands, bringing their sick, wanting to hear what Jesus had to say. But primarily, they were bringing their sick. Hey, if I can get If I can have my nephew or my son or my grandchild healed by this miracle worker, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to this Jesus. And that's what was happening. And they were exhausted. And Jesus said, let's go retreat. We've got to get away. We've got to get away from the crowd. We need to rest. I know you're tired. And Jesus had just gotten word that his cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded by King Herod. And he hadn't had time to even mourn the loss of his cousin yet. So Jesus said, come on, we've got to go retreat. We've got to get away. But the crowd followed. They couldn't get away. Someone said, we know where he is. He's in Bethsaida. And word spread. And the crowd rushed to where they had retreated. It wasn't easy for Jesus and his disciples to get away. The crowd followed. Verse 11. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Why did the crowd follow? Because Jesus loved them. He shared his compassion and his power with them. When you are saved into God's family and you have a part in the family business. And when we love, when you love as Jesus instructed you to love, and we love as we're instructed to love in God's family, then it attracts people. Each of us is expected to do our part. We're expected to be ambassadors, his hands and feet in the world. It's not about the rituals of going to church, taking communion. It's about being with Jesus in relationship by allowing him to speak to us, and we speak to him. And the closer we draw to him, the less it becomes about us. Jesus called us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily and follow him. But instead, we tend to deny him and serve ourselves. We think it's about religion. We go to church because we want God's approval. We join a small group or a Bible study, Bible journey class because we want God's approval. We try to make changes in our lives because we want God's approval. And we spend more of our time running away from what we've been saved from rather than running toward what we've been saved for. Look at 11 and 12. Once again, verse 11, when the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. Now they're exhausted. The disciples are tired. Jesus is tired. And you know what it's like at the end of a day, and you just want to rest, and sometimes you just got to get away from everyone. Or the end of the week, you're tired from a long week, and you just want to rest. And yes, we need rest. But Jesus, what did he say to his disciples? As the day was coming to a close, the disciples, they wanted to send them away. We're tired. Send them away. And Jesus instructed them to feed them. You feed them. You ever come up with excuses? They did. We don't possibly have the money to feed all these people. The only thing we have is a little boy's dinner. 5 loaves and 3 fish. Or 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. We can't feed this crowd. There's just too many. We can't feed all these people. We're tired. We need a break. We're hungry. It's not possible. And Jesus said, feed them. No excuses, no cop-outs. It'd be easier to send them away to take care of themselves, but he said, we are here to serve. And when there's a problem, Jesus calls servants to meet the needs. Verse 13 and following, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. That doesn't even count the women and children that were with them. And he says to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. I'm a visual learner. I have to see it and touch it. And when I read this, we looked at this miracle last July. And I shared with you then I want to see how it worked. How could they possibly take 3 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 plus? Were the 2 fish raw? Were they cooked? I picture in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, we read about the prophet who stayed with the widow, and as long as he was there, her jar that she thought was just about down to the last drop of oil never ran out as long as the prophet was in her house. So I picture Jesus taking a fish, and perhaps he pulls the meat off of the bone and he hands it to one of the disciples. Then he pulls off another piece, hands it to another disciple. Eat it. Maybe they take a bite. He says, here, now you do the same. 2 fish, so maybe 2 of the disciples. Peter, John, come here. Each of you take a fish. Now go pass it out. Feed the crowd. So as they walk around, they're in groups of 50 and pull some meat off. Here, pass this down. Pulls off another piece, pass it down. And as they go back, it's as if it's completely whole again. That they pull the meat from the bone, and as they look away, it just refreshes. They pull the meat from the bone again till they have. Can I have 3 pieces? Sure. Here, 1, 2, 3. I'd like 6. Sure, here's 6. And the same with the bread. I don't know if he called just 3 of them or took the bread and he broke it in 2 and each piece became a whole. Here, you take one, you take one. Took the other one, split it in 2. Each piece became a whole. And as they would go around, they would break off a piece of bread. And as they're handing it away, it comes right back. Pull off another piece and it comes right back. It was a miracle that with just the few loaves and a couple of fish, they were obedient to what Jesus called them to do. They were tired, sure. It would have been easier just to get away, send the crowd, let them take care of themselves. You know what it's like at the end of the week to be tired, and I'm thankful for those who went and served Moments of Hope Outreach yesterday. I'm sure you were tired at the end of the week, but you went anyway. Every third Wednesday, we have a group that goes to the healing place and serves lunch to men who are recovering from addiction. It'd be easier just to stay home or stay at work or go shopping rather than to go down and prepare some food and serve. Maybe you're thinking, I'm too young or I'm too old or I'm too weak. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the resources. It's fear. Courage isn't the absence of fear, it's the absence of self. So they denied themselves. They were obedient to what Jesus called them to do, serve. And that's the mark of a Christ follower. You serve. You help. They served the people in verse 17. They all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Not only did they take this young boy's lunch and feed thousands, but they had leftovers that filled up 12 baskets. And everybody was satisfied, which was unusual because they were used to just eating just enough to get by. But when Jesus is involved, there's fulfillment and satisfaction. Now, the Gospels are filled with miracles of Jesus, but this is the only miracle that's included in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew and Luke are interested in the miracle. Mark is interested in the compassion that Jesus showed the people. And John gives theological significance to the event. Listen to John 6:26 and following. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." And he's counting on you and me to be his hands and feet to serve in this world. In his book, Dad, the Family Coach, Dave Simmons writes about teaching his children what it means to love God and love others, how to demonstrate the love of God with others. And he impressed upon his children that love is action. Love is action. You can't just sit back. You've got to get up, take the towel and basin, as Jesus did in the upper room, and he served. You've got to get up and go out of your way and serve. It requires sacrifice. It requires denying self. But we tend to deny God and serve self rather than deny self and serve God. He writes of taking his 5-year-old son and his 8-year-old daughter to the mall with him. And when he got there, there was a petting zoo. "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, can we go to the petting zoo? Please, can we go to the petting zoo?" He said, "Why, sure, you can go to the petting zoo." And he gave his little boy a quarter and his daughter, Helen, a quarter. And they went up to go into the petting zoo. Helen came back and said, "Daddy, it was 50 cents instead of 25 cents. So I gave my brother my 25 cents. And they went over to the edge of the fence and they watched as her little brother was petting the animals in the petting zoo. And she looked at her daddy and said, "Love is action. Right, Daddy? Love is action." And he said, "Yes, you're right." She didn't complain. She didn't say, "Daddy, do you have 50 more cents so I can go pet the animals?" He did. He said, "I had 50 cents burning a hole in my pocket, and I so wanted to give it to her, but I knew the lesson would be far greater if I just let her stand there and watch and see the joy on her brother's face that she helped provide by sacrificing and giving and serving her little brother." And that's the lesson for us. Service requires sacrifice. Even when we're tired and when we're at the end of our strength, and it'd be easy just to take care of ourselves, it'd be easy to just feed us and let someone else take care of themselves, it'd be easy to just sit back and relax, stay home, or come up with excuses. But no, we are called to deny self, to serve our neighbors, to serve our co-workers, to serve our friends. Heavenly Father, forgive us for all those days and all those times that we deny you and serve self rather than deny self and serve you. Jesus said, whenever you've helped someone, when you've given somebody who's thirsty something to drink, somebody who's hungry something to eat, somebody who's homeless a place to live, someone who is in need of clothing, you give them clothing. Jesus said, you've done it when you've done it unto the least of these, those who are, need a little help, then you've done it for me, for Jesus Himself. Help us, Lord, starting today, to deny self and not you, and serve others and not self. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.